Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this, our first broadcast of the spring of 2021. Welcome to the program. The temperature, by the way, even though it's spring, it's still a little cool out, 47 degrees at airtime, but we are getting daytime temperatures in the 50s and 60s now, so the weather is improving. And we may not have too much more snow shoveling to do. And you never know, though. I always like to wait till after the tax season until satisfied that the winter is over, or the winter weather is over. But the calendar says the spring started yesterday. And hopefully we'll have some good weather. Well, I want to let you know that the chat room is open, and the call-in number is 914-803-4379. And if you do call in, please give me your first name and what city and state you're calling from, and what, if you're outside the country, what country and or what city and country you're calling from. So we have some good news. A couple of bits of good news is that the tax deadline, the IRS has extended the tax filing deadline another month, actually a month and a couple of days because of the weekend, but the deadline is now May 17th, 2021. Last year they had extended it to July 15th, but apparently they don't want to be that generous. But they have given another month to get your papers together, and there won't be any penalties if you take care of everything by May 17th. Any late filing, that is, anyway. There are so many different types of penalties. Late paying, failure to pay, estimated tax requirements, etc., etc. But anyway, I appreciate them in the business, and I can use an everyday extra to spread the work out. So get your taxes done. We will be talking some more about it on the upcoming shows. I do want to say there is some good news on the tax front again from the IRS. From the Congress, actually, they have put in a change to allow you to avoid paying federal income tax on your unemployment compensation up to the amount of $10,200. So if you have received unemployment compensation of $15,200, you can exclude $10,200 and only pay tax on the $5,000. The tax software companies had to make changes. My company had to put in an exclusion patch, I guess you'd call it, so that we can exempt the portion that is below 10,200. Anyway, there may be some states. By the way, the states are also, for the most part, extending the deadline, but I haven't heard of anything on the elimination of any of the unemployment compensation for state taxes. Of course, there are seven states that don't have an income tax, and Florida, Texas, New Hampshire, Tennessee, I used to know them all. But anyway, you know what state you're in and whether or not there is an income tax. So if you want to give me a call and talk about it, it's 914-803-4379. All right, as usual, I'm going to start out with the latest on the coronavirus statistics, as I have done since the pandemic got underway. Every 2 weeks I give you the results. So let's go through that kind of quick. On a global level, infected is now at 123,757,007. The active cases, 21,337,484. The number of deaths, 2,725,474. Recovered, 89,694,049. On the number of deaths, by the way, the increase on a world level, world global scale, is let's see, it's gone from 2,603,276 up to 2,725,474, so an increase of about 100,000, I believe. There's still a lot of people getting hit with this pandemic. In the USA, the infected is 30,505,348, and that's compared to 29,687,228. About another million cases in the U.S. The active cases in the U.S. is 7,223,810, and that's down actually from 8,826,506. Deaths, 555,105, and that's up from 537,723, and the recovered is 22,726,433, up from about 20,300,000 2 weeks ago. Now, two countries are catching up to the 1 million case level. There's still 21 of them that have over a million cases. And it's been like that for a while. But Canada and Chile are approaching 1 million cases, both of them around 930,000. As far as the vaccine is concerned, I got some information on that. About 40 million Americans now have received full vaccination, you know, as opposed to some getting one dose when they're required to get two for the full complement. Let me give you some more information on that. More than 72 million Americans have received at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine, and more than 39 million almost 40 million, as I said, are now fully vaccinated as of March 17th. And it continues to rise with three vaccines approved now for emergency use in the U.S. In fact, the beginning of March, the U.S. was vaccinating about 2 million Americans per day, the highest average yet. The number of doses distributed by the CDC's count is now at about 111 million vaccine doses. So they're getting that out, but there have been some negative results that are being reported. There was one on the AstraZeneca vaccine that there has been some issue with regard to blood clotting, and some people have negative side effects. And I've heard that some people have headaches and discomfort for right after receiving the vaccine, but they seem to get over that in a couple of days. I had a client that told me about his wife in that case. So say your prayers and make your decision. Each person has to decide whether they want to take the shot. And some of them require two shots. And then I'm even hearing that there may be booster shots coming up down the road. So you never know, as Yogi Berra's famous quote might be appropriate here, that it ain't over till it's over. So it looks like we're going to be impacted by this COVID-19 for some time, and then there are different variants, and we'll keep watching the figures, but they seem to be calming down somewhat, and some of the states are starting to now end the lockdowns, which of course has had very detrimental effects on the USA and a world economy. You know, there's more to it than just the medical issues. There's the economic issues, the psychological issues can be devastating, and we have to give that due consideration. Also in the news is the border issues going on down in our southern border. There seems to be vast amounts of people coming across the border. We had it a while back until President Trump seemed to clamp down on it, and it subsided a little. But now since Biden has taken over the reins of the executive branch, it's coming back in a strong way. And, of course, the states down there are impacted heavily, and one in particular is Texas. And Governor Abbott of Texas is very concerned, and he had a presser recently, a news conference, and I want to play a little bit about what he had to say. So this is Governor Greg Abbott discussing the border situation. Here we go.
Across the street from where we gather today at the K. Bailey Hutchison Convention Center is where the Biden administration is preparing to house up to 3,000 unaccompanied minors who cross the border.
This life-saving device stops a person from choking in seconds. You know what to do during a choking emergency?
Similar sites exist in Carrizo Springs, Texas, as well as Midland, Texas, and that's just as of now. The way that we see the number of unaccompanied minors crossing the border, there's every reason for Americans to expect the number and size of those sites to continue to increase in the coming days. These sites are a direct result of President Biden's reckless open border policies that are causing a surge in border crossings and cartel activity. The administration has yet to provide answers that Texans deserve. How long will these children be here? What countries have they come from, and what COVID variants have they been exposed to? Are they being tested for COVID, and if so, how is the administration handling those who test positive? Is the federal government following CDC quarantine protocols? What happens to these children if they do test positive for COVID, and if they do become ill, who is it that's going to be taking care of them? The Biden administration must also answer for enticing unaccompanied minors into inhumane conditions. Inhumane conditions that expose these children to traffickers, to abuse, and to terror. So far this year, more than 11,000 minors have been apprehended crossing the border into Texas. Children crossing the border rose 60% from January to February to more than 9,400 in February. The number of migrants crossing the border is at the highest since March 2019 and is on pace to hit a 20-year high. On Monday alone, the Border Patrol took in about 280 child migrants in the Rio Grande Valley sector. America needs to know how these children, some are young children, how they are coming across the border, and who is it that is helping these children come across the border. Americans need to know whether or not these children were harmed or abused in any way. They need to know if these children were assisted, coerced, or threatened by cartel members or by human traffickers. Were they forced to carry contraband as they made the trek across Mexico to the American border? All of this is vital information that can help America combat these human traffickers and prevent other children from being victimized. Americans deserve to know what the Biden administration is doing to get those answers. And Americans deserve to know what the Biden administration is doing to go after these human traffickers who are preying upon these young children. The Biden administration, to get those answers, should interview every unaccompanied child coming across the border. They should determine if any child has been harmed in any way or victimized by human traffickers. Things like this are already being done very professionally and very compassionately for children in America who are victims of human trafficking. The children coming across the border, they may share information about human traffickers or other abusers. This information can help us root out human trafficking as well as other criminal activity. Now, doing these things is the federal government's responsibility. But once again, it is Texas stepping up and doing what the federal government should be doing. Weeks ago, I launched Operation Lone Star to help secure the border and combat the smuggling of people and drugs into Texas. The Texas Department of Public Safety has deployed 1,000 DPS officers, agents, and rangers to support Operation Lone Star. Today, we are expanding the scope of Operation Lone Star to crack down on human trafficking. The Department of Public Safety will work with the already long-standing Governor's Child Sex Trafficking Team, as well as with other organizations and agencies that have experience in dealing with human trafficking and child trafficking. The Texas Department of Public Safety has been and will be apprehending unaccompanied minors who cross the border. And when they do, they will be seeking information about human traffickers as well as other crimes that may have occurred. Today, I am directly asking the Biden administration to allow the Texas Department of Public Safety to access this facility across the street at the K. Bailey Hutchison Center, as well as the other federally run facilities in Texas, to be able to talk to these unaccompanied minors. We must get to the bottom of the human trafficking and put an end to it.
Well, as a governor that I think we can wholeheartedly support, and it's the White House better do what he says. The people are concerned about this issue, and we have a lot of concerns as to whether this administration is serious about securing our borders. We don't want to go through these issues over and over again. So kudos to Governor Greg Abbott. The conference goes on sometime longer, and he has his Texas Rangers speaking, and I would recommend you go and find that. It's on YouTube. Just type in Greg Abbott discusses the border situation. I was doing a little research on, believe it or not, the Jerusalem Post. That's a newspaper and a website in Jerusalem, Israel. And they did an article about the suspects assaulting the Capitol on January 6th. They say that so far the FBI has arrested 300 people involved in the riots of January 6th. Some 65 were arrested for assaulting law enforcement officers. They have released videos and information on suspects who were observed assaulting federal officers during their involvement in the Capitol riots, and they're seeking the public's help to identify these individuals. Some of the most violent offenders have yet to be identified, the FBI said in their public service announcement. This includes a group of 10 who were caught on video assaulting officers in footage released on Thursday. The FBI is asking for the public to help identify the 10 individuals suspected of being involved in some of the most violent attacks on officers who were protecting the U.S. Capitol in our democratic process on January 6th, said the assistant director in charge of the FBI Washington office, Stephen M. D'Antonio. These individuals are seen on video committing egregious crimes against those who have devoted their lives to protecting the American people, he added. So the vast majority of those that were at that rally in Washington, D.C. at the Capitol were peacefully protesting, as President Trump advised them to patriotically and peacefully protest, which is your right to do. And these other people were of various stripes. We don't know the depth and breadth of who they were. Some that didn't go there to that may have been caught up in the furor of the moment and made a mistake by joining the ones that had planned it. There is some indication that it was planned, and then there is some talk that Antifa and or Black Lives Matter may have played a role also. So more digging has to be done to uncover the full story on that eventful day, January 6th, 2021. There's another post I have from the Jerusalem Post, and that has to do with they've done a survey of what is called the happiest, let's see, get the exact name of it. They're pointing out in their article that Israel ranks as the 11th in the World Happiness Report. They've done a report to determine a subjective measure of well-being, including GDP per capita, life expectancy, social support, freedom to make life choices, and generosity. and Israel has moved up to the 11th position in that report of well over 100 countries. The I wanted to find out where some of the other countries were ranked, and I want to give you that as soon as I can pull it up here. So, I know the U.S. has dropped down somewhat, but Israel had previously been ranked number 14, so they've moved up to number 11. The United States is ranked 14th. This is a drop, but let me give you the top countries. And the first one on the list, again, as it was in the past, was Finland, followed by the Nordic states of Iceland, Denmark, Switzerland, the Netherlands, and Sweden. And Germany jumped from 17 to number 7. To round out the top 10, we had Norway, New Zealand, and Austria. And Australia trails Israel in the 12th spot. So the top 10, then Israel, number 11, then Australia. United States was even further down the list at number 14, behind Ireland, which was 13, and then they beat out Canada, which was 15. So those are the happiest countries. And the most unhappy country was Afghanistan, retaining its place at the bottom of the 149 country list. So we've had a tough time with the coronavirus, and a tough time with some of the political activities and the attacks on our freedoms and religious liberties, etc. So I'm going to talk about that in the non-live portion of the show. I'm going to play a clip from Dr. Chaps. So let me give you the figures on the financial stats. The Dow closed at 32,627.97. That was up from 2 weeks ago. The NASDAQ and the S&P were also up. The NASDAQ at 13,215.23 and the S&P at 3,913.10. These figures are all hovering around record levels. Gold closed. It's been somewhat in the doldrums. It closed at 1744.90 an ounce, and that was up from 2 weeks ago. Silver at $26.25, which is up from 2 weeks ago. Bitcoin now is almost at 58,000 for one Bitcoin. USA ranks as the stimulus checks are in the mail, and I've heard on my own that I may be getting one next week. Well, this week, actually. The Real Clear Politics latest on President Biden is approval rating has gone down to 54.3 and his disapproval has gone up to 41.1, which I think I predicted last time. So that's pretty much everything I wanted to cover in the live portion of the show. We didn't have any call-ins. Let me just check again quickly and see if there's anyone in the chat room. Nope. So that's about it, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you in 2 weeks. The next show is on April the 4th, not April Fool's Day, but April the 4th, 2021. God bless you all, and We'll see you in 2 weeks. Stay safe and keep using your 3 V's. Good night, everyone. God bless you and God bless America. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bostonian, host of The Money Show, with the non-live portion of the show, 15 minutes of yours truly talking about various subjects. Hopefully they'll be useful to you, and if you have any questions or comments about them, join us in 2 weeks for the next bi-weekly show, which will be on April the 4th. On Blog Talk Radio. Well, as I said in the closing part of the live show, I want to cover a clip that Dr. Chaps, Gordon Clement Klingenschmidt, had with a guest on a recent show. His name is Dr. Frank Wright. He's connected. I think he may be in charge of the DJ Kennedy Ministries website, which is www.djkm.org, and he has some interesting comments about religious freedoms, and especially in broadcasting, and of course with the H5 being now in the Senate for vote, and many of us are very concerned that that is a very bad issue for Americans, one that needs to be defeated, and you should contact your senators in the Congress and let them know that you're not in support of H5, the so-called Equality Act, and you need to read it and see that it is not in your best interest if you value the freedoms and liberties that we have been blessed with. So let me play this clip to give you a little insight. This is Dr. Frank Wright speaking with Dr. Chaps. Here we go.
Well, as you alluded to, Dr. Kennedy always focused on his view of the church was that Christ established the church for two primary reasons, the first of which is, of course, the Great Commission. We're to be witnesses for Christ, to preach the gospel to every creature and make disciples of all nations. But we're also, as followers of Christ, supposed to take what the Apostle Paul calls the mind of Christ into the culture. And that means all of culture, all of the institutions of culture, medicine, law, education, government, politics, whatever it might be. And so the ministry that we carry on has been focused on that for 45 years. The thrust of the ministry has changed. The intensity of the battle, you might say, has changed some. When I was at NRB, I remember one of the last remarks that I gave for the entire conference there was that there was persecution coming. There was restriction of viewpoints coming, speech limitations coming, but I really thought, this is 10 years ago now, I really thought that was going to be from government. But that would be because historically, governments have been the enemy of free speech. And that still remains true. There are all kinds of government threats against speech. We've seen this during the COVID era. Those things have not gone away. What is new and what's happening today is that corporate
childhood of baby body parts. It's apparently okay to slice up babies and sell the parts and have conversations over your vanilla skinny latte about the prices of baby body parts. That's what they reported. And, of course, David Gladden was hauled into court by then Attorney General of California, Kamala Harris, and her successor, Becerra, who is now ready to be appointed by President Biden to a cabinet-level position in the government as well. So we're seeing the entrenchment of forces both in government and in the political culture today that are placing our broadcast platforms under duress. Now, if you'll allow me, Gordon, I want to be real careful about Lifetime. We've had a great relationship with them. We're still having discussions with them, but it looks like they're going to want to review in advance all of our programming going forward. That is a prescription for viewpoint discrimination, and I'm concerned at this point. I won't say anything bad about them. They've been good to us right up until this point, but all of a sudden some kind of energy has developed within their ranks in which they are going to root out viewpoints like ours. Well, let's take a short break.
All right, well, you can hear the rest of that, ladies and gentlemen, by going to Dr. Chaps' website, www.prayinjesusname.org, www.prayinjesusname.org. So this is the stuff that's going on, the attacks on religious freedoms, and we need to make sure that the government knows this has got to be stopped, and the First Amendment must be protected, and a good way to ensure that is to defeat H.R. 5, the Equality Act, which will be coming up shortly. Now I want to play one more clip from Dr. Chaps, and it's comments on Rush Limbaugh. We know Rush has passed on, and he was the most popular radio talk show host in the country, and helped many people develop as individuals and businesses. And Dr. Chaps has an interesting has something interesting to say about him with regard to spirituality. So let me see if I can find that. And it's always hard to get to the exact spot that I want to get to. I think this is it. Here we go.
Eight. Rush also wrote seven books, including the bestseller, The Way Things Ought to Be and See, I Told You So, both of which made the New York Times bestseller list. Forbes recently estimated his revenue per year at $100 million per year. But did you know that he was also very generous with that money, gave away a greater percentage of his income than all but four famous people, according to one list? Recent Talkers Magazine estimates his show had a cumulative weekly audience of 15.5 million listeners. Rush was also an inductee to the National Radio Hall of Fame and the National Association of Broadcasters Hall of Fame. During the 2020 State of the Union address, President Donald Trump, during the State of the Union, before a national audience right there in the halls of Congress, awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom to Rush Limbaugh. In February 1971, when he was just 20 years old, Rush started out his radio career as a DJ
at WIXZ in Pennsylvania. Later in 1975, he began KUDL in Kansas City, Missouri. 1979, began a job in group sales, working for the Kansas City Royals baseball team. He's an avid sports fan. Many of you may not know, he actually tried out a few times to play football for the Pittsburgh Steelers, his hometown favorite. In 1983, Rush returned to radio at KMBZ in Kansas City. For the first time, Rush used his real name on the radio. Finally, he became famous in Sacramento at KFBK. October 1984, began a pivotal talk radio show on a local station in Sacramento, which exploded. By July of 1988, he was working out of New York City at WABC. In the 90s, of course, he famously did battle with the Clintons. You remember his countdown of America held hostage after Bill Clinton was elected in 1992. But for those first 4 years, Limbaugh had a half-hour television show. But he didn't enjoy TV as much as he did radio, so he gave it up, even though it was successful. And finally, in 2001, Limbaugh became almost completely deaf. He fought that with corrective hearing aids, a cochlear implant in 2001. Talkers Magazine has now named him number one on its heavy 100 most important talk show hosts of all time. And
well, it's quite a commentary, and he goes on to talk about Rush's faith and how he gave his life to Jesus, and he should listen to that by going to his website, prayinjesusname.org. But I'm running out of time, and I just want to say that Dan Bongino has been picked to fill Rush's slot in the 12 to 3 Eastern Time radio broadcast. So that's about it, ladies and gentlemen. We're out of time. We'll see you in 2 weeks. God bless you all. And let's end with a song that says it all. God bless America. Good night.